know about y'all, but I appreciate people that will give of their time and their amazing talent. Right? Because what they do, yeah, go ahead, it's okay. It's all right. What they do is important. Here's why it's important. Because worship should create an atmosphere in your heart that allows for the word to be deposited. That's why we do it before preaching. That's why you should do it in your own personal time with the Lord. You can do it anywhere, anytime. I was doing it yesterday. That yard work I decided to do was a little more involved than I had anticipated. Right? But it had to be done, right? I've been wanting to do it for a long time. And I was worshiping. And I was singing, "You plead my cause. You right my wrong. You break my chains. You've overcome." I was singing it all day. And about 4 hours into that project, I was tired. It was hot. The wind was blowing. And I took a little break and had some leftover spaghetti bake that Miss Elizabeth sent home with us from Friday night. Yeah. Came back here this morning. Still smell like garlic bread. I took me a little break. And I got back out there and I thought, "Lord, you know, I really wish I might just leave the rest of this and just get it after a while or something. I really need to go in house and do those things that preachers do and study and read and all that." And he said, "You just keep working. You just keep worshiping and pay attention. Pay attention." A couple hours later, I'm still raking up pine straw. Let me tell you what I was doing. Our house sits on a hill. We moved in there. You go out the back door, it was just a mud hole. We got a good deal on some brick pavers, and we built a 1,000-square-foot patio. There's 5,000 bricks on the ground back there. There's 100 feet of retaining wall, and above that retaining wall is a bank, and it takes about 25 or 30 bales of pine straw. So every spring for the last 8 years, I have put down pine straw, and I never took the old off, right? I just kept putting, you know, that season's straw on top of the previous season's straw. At the same time, 8 years ago, we had planted some ground cover, and it just didn't really take off like I expected it to. So here's what the Lord said. He said, "You don't have to go steady." He said, "You're doing what you've been reading and studying about all week." You see, I was taking that old, dead pine straw off to allow room for the bright new green ground cover to grow, because I knew it was going to rain last night, right? And I wanted to get it done, and I wanted to allow room for that ground cover to grow because it was going to rain, right? And it's springtime and things are starting to grow and bloom, right? And that's what I want to talk about this morning is putting off the old and putting on the new, and putting off the old to allow room for that new to grow in our life as God washes us with His grace like rain. Amen. So if you'll look at the top of your outline there, it's 2 Peter 3:18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in the grace. Look at the person next to you and say, "Grow in grace." I want to talk to you today about how growth and grace fit together. So as we look at how God grows us through His grace. But first I want to look at what spiritual growth is and what spiritual growth isn't. So here's your first blank right at the top. Growth is not how many. Growth is not how many. It's not how many meetings we attend at church. It's not how many verses we memorize in the Bible. It's not how many minutes we spend in a devotion this morning. It's not how many Christian books we read. It's not a matter of how many. A lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that just because I'm involving myself in what may be a growth-producing activity, that I'm involving myself in something that sometimes results in growth, somehow we think that we're automatically just going to grow. And it doesn't work that way. many people for a lot of years think that if they just attended church more, that somehow they were going to automatically grow. And it just doesn't work that way. Just don't work that way. It's like if I decided I wanted to get more physically fit. I decided I was going to start working out. And I go up here to Calhoun to CrossFit Trackside, and I've got my folding chair and my six-pack of Mountain Dew and my box of Twinkies, right? And I walk in the gym, and I fold my chair out, and I sit back, and I'm tossing back Mountain Dew and eating Twinkies. And for about an hour, I'm watching Jim Swole Cat Pinkard and everybody else work out, right? And I'm thinking, man, they're doing great. They're doing great. And so then I get up, I fold my chair up, and I get in the truck, and I felt so good about what I'd done that I stopped by Waffle House on the way home to celebrate, right? I felt so good about sitting there watching those people work out. I really felt good about that. Here's my point. Just doing things doesn't necessarily mean we're growing. It's not a matter of how many. So what is it? Here's the next one. Growth is how much. It's the quality of life. It's how much closer I am to God now than I was this time last year. It's how much more I love my wife and kids because of God's grace. It's how much my character is being changed by God's grace and power. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of quality. Because you see, Jesus didn't say, I came to give you more things to do in your life. He said, I came to give you an abundant life, a new quality of life. God didn't give us his grace just as a gift to get us started. He gave us his grace as a gift to keep us going. You can put a hallelujah on that. Listen, there's a lot of changes happening in Adairsville. We got the new Shaw plant that went in. There's a new subdivision going up on the way here on 293, right? They're working on 140. God help us. I can't wait for them to be done with that, right? Because I got to come out there every day. There's transportation changes, population changes, a lot of changes happening around us all the time. And sometimes there's a contrast between the changes that are happening around us and the changes that are happening within us. And as things change more and more quickly around us, for a lot of us, we wish that change would happen more and more quickly within us. And we get frustrated at that rate of change within us, and we just wish it would just happen quickly. You might say, you know, I've struggled with that habit a long time. I want to be done with that. I wish I could get past that. I wish that fear wasn't a roadblock for me anymore. And I wish I could get past my relationship issues and either make it better or get over it, all kind of things. And the rate of change within us just doesn't come as fast as we want it to sometimes. And see, God's purpose in our lives is to help us to change. It's what his growth is all about. So today we're going to talk about how he grows us. And we're going to find out that just being a Christian doesn't guarantee the growth. There's a process of growth that God wants to work in our lives. And I know people, and you do too, I'm sure, that have been a Christian for a really, really long time, but they haven't grown a lot. And then you know people that are relatively new Christian, and they just have this amazing growth spurt, right? And I've gone through periods in my life when I've had those growth spurts. I feel like I'm in one now, right? And I've had these growth spurts, and then the growth kind of slows down a little bit. And it's a process. It's a process of change, a process of growth that God has for our lives. And that process can increase the rate of change in our personal life if we pay attention. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, okay, I know what it is. I just need to try a little bit harder. Listen, if you just tried a little harder, you're thinking, if you just tried a little harder, you could get this thing down. Well, listen, I've got some good news for you. It's not a matter of just trying harder. What that does is produces guilt in the end. I can testify to that. I've done it. It just produces guilt. It's not a matter of me trying a little harder because, listen, God has a process that begins by grace. It's a gift, but it also continues as a gift. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to look at a simple three-part process that he gives us. It's simple, but it's powerful, and for some of you, it may change your life. Here's the process. One of the places it's written for us in the Bible is in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. So listen for the three parts here. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to, here it is, put off your old self, underline that, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to, here's the next one, be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So on your outline, big number one, here's the first step in the process. You put off the old. The old is what used to be. The old is my life without Christ, my life before Christ, and everything that had to do with that. So let's, I want to look at some old ways that we try to grow, some old ways that we try to make ourselves better. And I want to look at three of them that don't work according to what Jesus teaches us about real, genuine, personal growth. So here's the first one. We try to grow by doing good. If I could just do enough good things, then I'm going to grow. Jesus gave his disciples then and now a picture of why this doesn't work. In Matthew 9:17, he talked about the wine and the wineskins. And he said, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So since most of you like me don't have a wineskin hanging out on the back porch, right? Let's talk about this for a minute, right? What's he talking about here? See, in that day, they would pour the new wine into a leather wineskin. Sometimes it's called a boda, right? And as the wine fermented, it would expand in the wineskin because it was made out of leather, and leather stretches would expand with it. And it's hanging outside in the sun, and the sun's beating down on it, and the wineskin would get hard, and then they'd pour the wine out. If you took new wine and you poured it back into that old hardened wineskin, then it would bust as the wine fermented and it began to expand. So what Jesus was saying was this: sometimes it looks like it'll fit. And it may fit in the beginning, but there's no room for growth. There's no room for expansion. Sometimes it looks like if I could just do enough good things, I'm going to grow. And that may work for a little while, but there's no room for genuine change in that. There's no room in that for becoming all that God wants me to be. I can't just grow by doing more and more good things. Here's the next one. You don't grow by keeping the rules. You don't grow by keeping the rules. Doesn't happen by doing good. It doesn't happen by keeping the rules. Look at Hebrews 13:9. It says, your hearts should be strengthened by God's grace, not by obeying the rules. It don't get much plainer than that, people. It's not by obeying the rules that my heart is strengthened. It's by God's grace. He said it, I didn't. Now, there's a time for rules. When our kids are little, right, they need some rules. A 3-year-old needs different rules than a 13-year-old, right? Because a 13-year-old needs a little bit more freedom and room to grow, right? But then a 23-year-old needs a little bit more freedom than a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old, right? If we just treated our children like they were 3 years old and we gave them those same kind of 3-year-old rules all their life, and then they got ready to go off and be on their own, what's going to happen? They're not going to make it. Not going to make it. They need a little bit more freedom along the way. Are they going to make some mistakes? Absolutely. But that's part of growing, isn't it? The more freedom you give somebody, the less rules, the more they can grow. Rules cannot produce growth, though. Only freedom can. Rules only control things and control people and control myself. But you can't produce growth through the rules. But what's the place of rules in the Bible? Because there's some in there. We call them the Ten Commandments, right? There's some in there. So look at it like this. We might think of grace as the jets that powers the engine. And it's the Ten Commandments that gives us the flight plan, that gives us some direction. But the power doesn't come through the plan, right? The rules cannot produce the growth. It's grace that produces the growth. You might think of it like this, like your life is a tiny rowboat and it's out in the middle of the ocean. and you're all by yourself and you're lost and it's hopeless and it's useless and you're never going to get to land, but you're just rowing as hard as you can trying to save yourself, right? And you're just working really hard. And then all of a sudden on the horizon, you see this big, beautiful, gigantic cruise liner. We'll call it the USS God's Grace. Right? And the cruise liner pulls up beside you, and God leans over the rail, and he expresses his willingness to save you. I'm lost, and now I'm found, right? And then he brings you on the boat, and he's got a lot of things for you to do all over the ship. But sometimes what happens is, even though we're on the USS God's Grace, we remember our old way of living, and we go back to that old rowboat, and we put it up on the deck of the big luxury cruise liner, and we get back in it. We get back in it, and we start rowing again. And we're working really hard. And we say, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing it all by myself. Aren't you impressed with me? And you're getting nowhere. God says, I've got a new way for you to live. I've got new things for you to do. Listen, another word for this trying to use rules to produce growth is called religion. And religion kills people. That's what religion is. It's trying to make a bunch of rules about my relationship to God, thinking that somehow that's going to produce growth. It's never worked, and it never will. Growth comes from grace. Amen? Here's the next one. We try to grow by feeling bad. Rules can't produce growth. Guilt can't produce growth. But sometimes we think, if I just feel bad enough about myself, maybe I'll get better. And we pile the guilt on. We heap the guilt on, hoping that we'll get better. And just logically, you can see how that don't work. If I feel bad about myself, I don't get better. I just feel bad. I just feel bad. And it's like we try to, when we do that, we try to beat God to the punch, right? And we say, God, I know you don't like what I'm doing, so I'm going to feel bad about it, and I'm going to go ahead and condemn myself so you won't condemn me. And that's not what God intends to do at all. Look at the promise he makes us in Romans 8:34. He says, who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us. Listen, we're coming up on Easter pretty quick, right? And what do we do at Easter? We celebrate the fact that God does not condemn us in Jesus Christ. That's why hundreds of people will show up in churches across the world to celebrate that. If God doesn't condemn us, why do we spend so much time condemning ourselves like that's going to work and that's going to change us? It doesn't change us at all. It doesn't change us at all. If I don't grow by feeling bad about myself, if it doesn't work to just have a list of rules and doing good things doesn't cause it, so what does work? Look at big number two on your outline. I put on the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is a promise for those who are in Christ, for those who've trusted their lives to Christ and his leadership. It's a promise to those who have said, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. It's not a new list of rules. It's not a bunch of meetings that you have to go to. It's the promise of the Christian life that the old has gone and the new has come. And there's a couple of things about this new life that God wants to give us. First off, we don't have to achieve our new life. I don't have to make it work on my own. Newness is a creation of God. We're a new creation when we're in him. We don't have to make ourselves new. We just have to put on the new life that he's given us. A lot of times we think that we have to do it ourselves. And it's like if God came and he said, you know what, I've got this beautiful $1,000 Armani suit for you. I'm just going to go ahead and hang it in your closet. And he says, here it is. This is your new life, and I want you to enjoy it, right? But then I think, you know what? You've done so much for me. I'm just going to take care of this myself. And then I go and I get some scraps and, and some old clothes, and I try to sew. I can't sew, so maybe I just staple them, right? And then I put it on. Then I do it all myself, and then I put it on. I say, God, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done. Aren't you proud of me? And I think he looks down from heaven and he says, why don't you just put on that beautiful new life that I gave you? It's a gift. I want you to enjoy it. You are released from having to try to sew all of that other junk together yourself. I want to do something in your life by grace that you can never do on your own. We don't have to achieve this new life on our own. Here's the next one. We don't have to keep our new life. We don't have to keep it. I don't have to hold on to it. Colossians 3:3 says, your old sinful self has died, and your new life is what? It's kept. Go ahead and circle that word kept. It is kept in Christ, in God. That's pretty safe in my book. Y'all ever locked your keys in your car? I've done it twice in my 51 years. Now, I didn't lose my keys. I knew exactly where they were at. They were locked up, safe and secure, right there inside the truck. I had to call somebody to come break in. I don't know how to do that. I'm not a criminal or a fireman. So I had to call somebody. They had to come get my keys. Listen, when it comes to our security as a believer, our salvation, that new life that God's given us, the keys are inside in Christ in God. I'm not holding on to them. He is, and I'm thankful for that. He's holding on to the key, and he's never going to let it go. That's the security of the new life that God has given us. I don't have to achieve this new life. I don't have to keep this new life. But here's what I have to do. I have to put on this new life. There's a decision that I get to make, that I'm allowed to make every day of my life, about this new life that God wants to give me. I do get to put it on. So let's picture it this way. Let's say I've got an old coat and a new coat. And I was going to bring an old coat, but Missy already took them to the Goodwill. Man, it was this Levi's jacket I've had since like 1985. Wasn't stonewashed, so it wasn't that cool, right? So I was going to bring it, but I went looking for it, and it's already at the Goodwill, right? Purging. So let's say I got an old coat and a new coat, right? And God says, I want you to take off the old, and I want you to put on the new. Now, before we become a believer in Christ, we don't have the power to do that. But once we become a believer, now we've got the power to make a choice, but we struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes we think, God, I know you've made some changes in my life, but I'm kind of comfortable with some of those old ways of living, and I think I'm just going to try it like that for a while, right? Maybe I'll make it into heaven now, so I'm going to keep trying to live that way in some areas. You see, once you become a believer, you're going to find out that the old way starts to become more and more uncomfortable. It just doesn't fit anymore. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. Loved that Levi's jacket. She said, you ain't wearing that. We're getting rid of it. We have some strategies for dealing with that. One of the strategies we have is we put the new life on over the old life. Now we got two things going on, and it don't work. You know it don't work. It's uncomfortable. Doesn't feel right. The other thing we do is we take off the old a little bit, and we ain't really comfortable taking it off all the way. So then we try to put on both of them, and we got like this Jekyll and Hyde thing going on, and it just doesn't fit, right? It's uncomfortable. God says, you've got this old way of living, this old way of talking to people, take it off. He said, I got a new way for you to talk to people. Now for me, I got to do that 100 times a day. It's not like I just did it once 20, 30 years ago, and I'm done. It's a constant decision to take off the old and put on the new. That's the decision I get to make every day, many times a day. Stop talking the old way, start talking a new way. Stop worrying about my money, start trusting God when it comes to my finances. Sometimes it's the same decision made dozens and dozens of times the same day. Take off the old, put on the new. It's God's new way of living. If you could look any way you wanted to on the outside, like anybody you wanted to, movie star, sports star, now we know Paxton ain't got a choice. He's going to look like Tom Selleck, right? He ain't got a choice, right? A few years ago, I let my hair grow out a little bit long because every retired military guy does that, they just go like full hippie mode for a little while because they can, right? And I was working out in the yard, and I put this bandana on my head, and Taylor said, "Daddy, you look like a chubby Matthew McConaughey." I said, "Okay. So who would you want to look like? What about the inside, though? What about the inside? If you could look like anyone you wanted to on the inside, anybody, who would you want to look like on the inside?" We're talking about God's promise here. He said, "I want you to look like me on the inside. I want to give you my character. I want you to look like Jesus Christ on the inside." Listen, it's slowly but surely. It doesn't come in a day, but slowly but surely God changes us. The way Jesus talked to people becomes more and more the way I talk to people. The way Jesus dealt with his relationships becomes more and more the way I deal with relationships. The way Jesus handled his time becomes more and more the way I handle my time. There's some ups and downs in it, no doubt. It's not perfect all the time. We make mistakes, but it's growth. And we're moving forward. We're making progress. It's a process of taking off the old and putting on the new. Sometimes we struggle with that. Some people say, "You know, it's tough. I would love to do that. It's a great idea. But I have a really hard time letting go of some of those old things. It's hard seeing myself in the new way that God wants to see me." And that's why the third step is so important. And it's the one that we forget sometimes. We talk about taking off the old and putting on the new. But here's what we got to do. Here's where the empowerment comes from. Big number three on your outline. We have to be renewed in our mind. This step of God, this renewing our mind, empowers us to take off the old and put on the new. Look at Romans 12:2. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." By changing the way that you think. That's where the power is. God wants to change the way we think. That's a renewed mind. God has changed the way we think so I can see things as he sees them. The more I can see something as God sees it, the more it changes the way that I think. If I could see the world as God really sees it, I would have a little more compassion for people. If I could see my sin the way that God really sees it, I would see how much it hurts me, how much it hurts others, and I would see the eventual result of it. And I would change much more quickly because I'm changing in my thinking, because I'm seeing things the way God sees them. And that's what he's saying. What if I could see myself the way that God sees me? That I see this new life that he wants to give me? And that's great news, that he wants to give us a new life. And it's by his grace that he has given us a new life. I'm not talking about some pop psychology, some do-it-yourself help kind of thing, some pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, none of that stuff, right? I'm talking about the truth of what he's done, about seeing yourself the way God sees you. And the truth is this: when you come to Christ, he gives you a new life. The more I can see the fact that he's given me this new life and I live that new life, the more real it becomes. Becoming renewed in the spirit of your mind, it happens by grace, it starts by grace, and it ends by grace. Look at Galatians 3:3. It says, "You began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now are you trying to make it complete by your own power? That is foolish." It's foolish. Listen, it's grace all the way through. A renewed mind is not just determination. It's a determined dependence on God. There's a big difference between those two. It's not just self-determination. I'm going to do this no matter what. It's determined dependence on God's grace, because that's where the power is. The power is in his grace. We live the Christian life the same way we started the Christian life. It started by grace, and now we live it by grace. Let's say that I get on a 747 headed to Dallas. On the way there, right, we've gained altitude. We're going pretty fast. I don't know how fast big planes like that go, but I know it's fast enough, right? And I'm thinking, all right, we're going fast enough. I think I can complete this trip on my own now. So I pop open the door, and I'm just hoping that we've got up enough speed and I'm going to exit the aircraft and it's going to carry me all the way to Dallas. We all know that's not going to work, right? I'm going to drop like a rock. There's a biblical word for that. We get up to speed and then we thank God, I'm doing great. I got it. I can handle it on my own now. I got this, right? And we step out of the power of His grace and we drop like a rock. I know I've done it. The Bible word for this is in the book of Galatians. It says it's called falling from grace. Dropping like a rock. When you step out of that grace. Now, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It doesn't mean you're lost from it. What it means is that you have started to depend on yourself for growth. You have started to take matters into your own hands. And as soon as you start to do that, that's when the free fall begins. And you're dropping like a rock. But as soon as you say, God help me, He picks us up again and He gives us His grace. That is being renewed in your mind. Starting to think about God in a new way. He's the one who empowers us with His grace. Now, maybe there's some people here that aren't a believer yet, and they say, you know what, I'd like to become a Christian. I'm kind of kicking the tires. I'm seeking, and I'm considering what it means to be a believer in Christ. But honestly, I don't know if I can handle all the rules. I don't know if I can handle those rules for the rest of my life. Well, listen, what I'm saying to you today is that the Christian life is not a life of rules. The Christian life is a life of new power. You're living in a new way because you have a new power in your life. Maybe you met some Christians who've been trying to live the Christian life by rules or by doing good or by feeling bad, but that's not what the Bible teaches us about true Christianity. Real faith in Christ is built on God's grace. Amen. So there's two questions that people have about this thing called growth, right? And the first one is this, is why does it take so long? I want to change, and I change a little bit, but it doesn't happen fast enough for me. Why does it take so long? Listen, when something has value, when something is valuable and it's worth a lot, it takes time. If you've got kids, we all know how much it costs to raise kids. Is it worth it? Yes. That's a human life. We get to participate in. It's a person. There's a lot of things we can invest our life in, but investing it in your kids is worth it. It takes time to grow, but think about what's happening. Why does it take so long? Because growth is a process. It's a process that points toward eternity. When God changes our character, it's not for a few months, it's not for just a few years, it's for the eternal life that He has for us. Because growth is a process that points towards eternity, it takes some time, but it's worth it. Give God time. For those people that you look at on their Christian walk and their growth process, and you think that they're not growing fast enough for you, how much time are you going to give God? How much time are you going to give God? The changes that are happening are eternal. They're going to affect and impact eternity. That's why it takes so long. Because God has a long-term plan in mind for your life. So here's the second question that comes up. So where do I start in this thing called growth? One word, trust. It starts with trust. We start by believing in God's ability to accomplish this growth goal in our life. The motivational power for growth isn't found within us. It's found in Him. The power is this. God wants and is willing and is working for us to grow every day of our life. The minute I come to Him and I give my life to Him, He is working for me to grow. If I had to think, if I had to wake up every morning the rest of my life and motivate myself to grow, that's when I get discouraged. Every morning of my life. But the truth is, whether I feel motivated that day or not, whether I feel motivated, God's motivated. And He's going to motivate me. He's going to strengthen me. I trust in what He's doing. I trust His process. The motivation comes from the power of God working within you. You just have to cooperate with what He's already doing. Doesn't that make you relax in God's grace a little bit? Listen, Growth is not accomplished by me trying hard. It's accomplished by trusting Him. That's where the growth comes from, and He's trustworthy. Amen? There's two unforgettable promises from the book of Philippians about how we can trust God to grow us. Now, those of you who are Christians and you're thinking, you know what? Is He going to keep working in my life? Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will carry it on till completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. Maybe you're not a believer yet and you're thinking, if I come to Him, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can keep up my end of the bargain. And you feel like you're just going to be by yourself in that. Philippians 2:13 says, For God is at work with you, helping you want to obey Him, and then helping you do what He wants. Don't you love that? Not only does He help me want to do the right thing, He helps me do the right thing. It's not that I never want to do wrong, because I do, and we all make mistakes, right? But God is never going to give up on helping us do the right thing. That is what grace is all about. That's grace. Now, you might think of it this way. When it comes to renewing your mind and starting to trust God for new growth, it's like God wants to do this giant restoration project in our brains, in the way that we think about Him and about growth. And if you've ever remodeled a house, it's tough, right? Y'all watch HGTV, them shows on HGTV, DIY, all that? Don't they make it look so easy? It's ridiculous. They look good doing it, you know. And what you don't see in that hour is how much work is actually involved, right? Sometimes those folks don't even realize that the greatest work were the things we don't see, that the wiring and the foundations. And to really get that done, it's a lot more work than sometimes it looks like at first, right? And that's the same thing that God does in our lives. He comes into our lives, and we say, you know what, God, I've got a wall over here, and I need you to patch that wall. If you could just do that for me, that'll be good. That'll be fine. And God says, no. He says, I got some bigger plans for you than that. I want to get to the wiring. I want to get to the wiring. That's where I want to, because to get to the wiring, what do you have to do? You got to tear all of that stuff off the wall, and it looks ugly. It might take a little while. You tear all of that stuff off the wall, it might be discouraging, but He wants to get to the power source. He wants to get to the power source because He wants to give us more power than we ever imagined. Why does He want to get to the wiring? Because He sees the danger that's there, that someday it might blow up in our face. And He wants to get to it, and He wants to change the power source. So God tears away the walls, He gets to the wiring, then He puts the walls back up, and they look brand new and better than before. That's God's giant restoration project in our lives, and He's not going to give up. Now, before I read the last verse, let me give you some homework. Instead of saying, I'm going to apply this to all areas of my life this week, I want you to just pick one area of your life. When we remodel a house, it's best to do it one room at a time, right? We just pick one area. Maybe it's the way you talk to your kids. Maybe it's the way you talk to your spouse. Maybe it's the way you think about your finances. Maybe it's the way you conduct business. I don't know. Just choose one area. That's the area that we should ask God to help us put off the old and put on the new this next week. So let's look at that last verse. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, has to go. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. So I want to close with this today, if the band wants to come on. I want to close by presenting an opportunity for you to say to God, God, I'm in. I want to be a part of this. Would you do your restoring work in my life for the rest of my life? Maybe just tell him that to refresh that commitment you may have already made, right? Or for maybe somebody that needs to make that commitment for the first time, just let him know that you're making yourself available for his restoring work. Not just keep patching over the problems, but to trust him to get to the power source, to make something only he can do. Because he's ready. He's ready to make your life and my life something that we never dreamed possible. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for your grace. That's the one thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. It's your grace. There is nothing we can do. We are saved by your grace, and we grow by your grace. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts now, God. God, if there's someone here that needs a restoration project, God, give them the courage to take that on and let you do a work in their life. And whatever's accomplished here today, God, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.